Welcome to Working with Purpose. My name is David Stark. My co-host Justin Royer is here today, and we also have a special guest named Tim Clark. Tim, welcome to the show. Our show is dedicated to the intersection of faith and business and looking at leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. You can tune in to us today if you'd like to. Our podcasts are on the davidstarkcollective.com. It's at Twitter, at Stark Collective. We also put our podcasts up on iTunes under Working with Purpose. We love good reviews. And so please give us as many as we can get. But we're glad you came today. That we've been doing this People Series now all summer. And it's really been great to hear from leaders about what's going on the ground and in the whole area of faith and business, but also the impact of interconnectivity and networks on how the organizations work. But I'm excited. I've actually got an old friend on today, Tim. And Tim's background is he used to work for CarVal. It was one of the leaders at CarVal as a investment wing of one of the investment wings of Cargill. And also from there was called by God to be the CEO of Urban Ventures, spent a number of years at Urban Ventures as their leader. And then God called him again out of that into a great organization called Treehouse, where he is now currently the CEO there. And actually, we go all the way back to skiing in Montana days, which was a lot of fun when I was a associate pastor at Christ Presbyterian. I miss those days, by the way. But Tim, why don't you tell us about yourself and a little bit about what you're doing now?
Yeah, great, Dave. I appreciate it and appreciate being here today. As the CEO and president of Treehouse, we are an organization that is scaled for growth. We have 9 locations currently where we manage over 2,000 teens and work with them, mentoring them in faith-based ways many times a week, and also about 20 partners, mostly across the 7 metro area, but many now outstate and out of state. Mm-hmm. And really, God has provided us a stability and a growth for us to be able to reach any at-risk teen, okay, across the United States. Wow. And that's been our mission. It's been our mission since before I was there, to really go into areas and be the voice and be the hearts for those who can't necessarily talk or advocate for themselves.
Absolutely. Just in passing, before we go back a little bit, Tim, I had a chance to, in an earlier rendition at this organization to pray for a new, used to be permanent site that was in there. And the Holy Spirit was just like tackling me because of the compassion and the grace this means for saving teens' lives. It was just fantastic. But let's dial back a little bit, Tim. I want you to talk a little bit about your calling and the yearning in the for-profit world to do things different. Talk about how God worked in you that way, Tim.
Yeah, as a 21-year Cargill veteran, loved certainly that organization, and a lot of my core values were because of growing up under leaders like Warren Staley and Greg Page. Okay, mm-hmm. And the ability then within that mindset and in that framework to allow myself to be a faith-based leader, I give it to them and to others, other leaders, to allow myself to be an authentic leader in a for-profit mindset. Mm-hmm. But as I saw things happen in really the 2010-2011 timeframe for me, it was very clear that God was hitting me over the head with a 2x4. It took me a while to get it. And we joke it took Tara, my wife, a while longer to get it because that sort of calling is not something you make as a partnership as a single person. You make it as a partnership as two of us as a body. But it allowed me then to say, how do I take my skill sets and what's my purpose in life that God has called me for to then in the next seasons of life to really take that purpose and do God's calling.
That's great. There's so many people that I think get those nudges in those kinds of ages, Tim. Some of the most powerful things I've seen is for-profit leaders being repurposed by God into a nonprofit situation, which is kind of fantastic. So talk to a little bit about kind of what's happening. I've had the chance, as you know, to know the other leaders in the past in this organization, but tell me kind of what's exciting about right now in the organization today, Tim, that's really driving your train as you as you go there?
You know, I think I learned it at Cargill from it being such a, you know, such a legacy and history being so important. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being the largest privately held company in the world. And I think, you know, looking in and building that on the core values today, Treehouse is a 34-year-old organization. Mm-hmm. That still is in its roots back to what we started and what Fred Peterson started 34 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So our culture, our core, our DNA, and our teaching, although it does need to be updated for both technology, culture, and market changes, at the base, it's what Fred started when he was a teacher, okay, found himself more a minister than a teacher, and found himself wanting to get out of the education side and into then the ministry side.
Wow.
What that allows us to do today is really then to say, how do we grow that? Okay.
Yes.
And we've built an online curriculum that allows all those teachings and all those trainings to be someplace that whether it be one of our staff members, one of our volunteers, or one of our many partners to push a button and then be able to really unpack whether it be a specific issue, a social issue on how to best teach that to teens or what a theme may be, okay, you know, for a teaching night. That's all now ready there for others to unpack and deliver.
That's great. So now technology is allowing you to do way beyond even what's been done so far.
Correct.
Yeah, that's great. So let's just talk about as you've been in the nonprofit sector now for a number of years, Tim, kind of, what have you seen change? Or what's your coming straight out of a for-profit situation? What are your impressions about what's going on with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it has to do, and when you, Dave, and being a fan of this series for you, it is all about purpose, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, moving from Cargill into the nonprofit sector, you know, almost 5 years ago, allowed me to rededicate my purpose, but also allowed us to look and seeing, you know, what is the right purpose for, at that point in time, Urban Ventures and the right mission for it, as well as how do we help other organizations get to seek their purpose? You know, it isn't, you know, certainly it is conventional thought today. You look at it that there are a lot of nonprofits that seem to be either hanging on everybody else's turf or not updated as towards what a 2020 and a 2030 world would provide or need for those nonprofits and social organizations to do, faith-based or not faith-based. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the ability for me to allow and to lead into not only Treehouse now, but also as we partner with other organizations to make them better, that's really what drives me and drives us to say, how can we make a different change and how is it different than it was before? I didn't at all talk about fundraising there. Okay, right. Yeah. Fundraising is a challenge. It is always going to be a challenge.
Yes.
But funds will come and resources will come if your purpose and mission is direct and if your connectivity with others, okay, others see that there's a reason that in some ways 1 + 1 = more than 2.
You bet. That's great.
Tim, yeah. I think that's pretty interesting too. And one of the things that makes me think of is kind of the parallel of the, you know, the nonprofit sector and the for-profit sector when it comes down to if you have a resonant purpose and thing that, you know, that people like, I mean, on the for-profit side, that turns into revenue, right? You're still providing a for-profit service. People resonate with that. You're providing value. Do you see that as a parallel as well where, I mean, whether you're for-profit or nonprofit, it's this notion of you're purpose driven in terms of what you're providing in value. And that turns into, on one side of the fence, it's revenue. On the other side of the fence, it's donations and fundraising, things like that.
Right. And it also can be missional success.
Sure.
When you, hey, everyone wants to hear and talk about stories. Okay. And I happen to lead an organization, that we have tremendous life changing transformation stories, transformational stories. Kids, you know, that had no confidence and no concept of getting out of the hole they were in and talking about being lovable, capable, worthwhile, you know, loved without strings, okay, and never alone. Those are things that are gems when it comes to how do we tell, you know, the market and the community what we're about. But just as important today, it's two other things. It's what are those kids doing and what are their outcomes as towards making their lives and their futures better? How many are graduating? What are they going on to? How are they helping each other? How are they becoming leaders in society? And then just as importantly, how are we as Treehouse helping other organizations do better, and how we're not duplicating or replicating different models, okay? That's where being in a niche such as, you know, at-risk faith-based mentoring, I think allows us a huge amount of expansionary growth, because we can fit into a lot of other organizations' DNA and their work without necessarily replicating or being, you know, in essence, you know, reductive or repetitive in any ways. We're very complementary, and that has allowed our partnership model to grow and grow.
That's great. Let's talk about kind of a leadership angle on this, Tim, for a minute. So why don't you talk about the grace-based mindset of leadership in a faith-based nonprofit world?
Yeah, I you know, it's interesting. People ask me all the time, and I thought it'd wind down after a while, but it really hasn't. They say, what's the difference, and is it harder in a nonprofit versus a for-profit mindset of being a leader? Mm-hmm. I've always been about leadership. You know, my MBA at University of Chicago had a lot of leadership courses and leadership emphasis to it. And I say today is that, you know, it is different, but it is the same fundamentals and the same, you know, core understanding. In the end of the day, you do need to balance the concept of grace and outcomes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Things obviously don't necessarily happen as quickly, okay, in a nonprofit format, you know, than they do in a for-profit mindset, and that's okay. But just as much, if not more so, I think you need to be more focused on a missional and visional purpose and calling. Mm-hmm. You know, I state that, you know, at Cargill, because of the blessings we had and the great leadership we had and infrastructure we had, there were a lot of ways for us to bless our employees and to motivate them, not just by money, mm-hmm. okay, in currency, but we had a lot of different ways by which people wanted to work for us.
You bet.
Okay. At Treehouse, people want to work for us because they have a calling to our mission.
Yes.
And I need to ensure as the leader that their connectivity to that mission is as direct and clear and transparent as possible.
Yes.
Because that's the major currency, basically, I have to give them.
You bet. So we're going to come back to that, Tim. Let's take a break for just about a minute. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer, and today Tim Clark. We'll be right back. Justin and I wanted to take time personally to thank you for listening to our programs and podcasts. We can make a greater impact if we have time with you to be of service to your organization directly. We just want to talk about a few areas that we're currently working in that we can be of service in. Justin, why don't you launch out?
Dave, I see a couple of things. One is siloed organizations, where that structure really prevents them from sensing and collaborating as well as they could. And the other is asset-centered design instead of human-centered design, which leads to a loss of relevance with customers.
Yeah, and I see competitive pressure increasing on many organizations where they're losing clients, they're not getting sales that they should. Also, I'm seeing in growth companies that they don't know the predictable stages they go through, and so all of a sudden they're growing and they stop.
Whatever may be facing you and your organization, Dave and I would love to roll up our sleeves and help you navigate this volatile and complex world. You may simply reach out to us at davidstarkcollective.com and click on the Contact Us page. Now back to the show. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer, and today's guest, Tim Clark from Treehouse. On the first half of the show, Tim, we were talking a lot about the differences and the similarities between nonprofits and for-profits. And one of the things that I, so Dave and I have this little trick or this thing that we do where we often talk about Peter Drucker. Okay, so maybe I talk about Peter Drucker a lot, but
I don't know him very well, but he does. I know
he's
him.
A close personal friend of mine. I like to think he's a big fan of the show, or would have been.
Yes.
So Drucker often said in a lot of his works, and that he said, you know, nonprofits really get it. You know, they're outpacing for-profit businesses in so many ways, and the reason why was because he thought that they intuitively got purpose. They understood that it was important to have, like you said, a missional and visional kind of purpose for the organization. I'm curious, it seems like you're a believer in that, but could you, You know, are there any other compares and contrasts that you think are interesting between, you know, for-profit and nonprofit? You know, for example, would you go back to your for-profit self, knowing what you know now in the nonprofit world,
right,
and say, hey, for-profit Tim, try doing stuff like this? I'm just kind of curious if that has kind of influenced the way you think about leadership.
Yeah, you know, I think then add on to that, just in the concept of faith-based leadership. Okay, one of the reasons I made the shift was I saw that God wanted me to be, excuse me, a holistic being and a holistic leader, okay, that I wasn't one leader at work and another leader at home and another leader on Sundays at church, okay, and another leader as an elder, but that it was all one and encompassing as much as possible. And actually, I think that's much easier for me in a faith-based nonprofit format. Okay, I still sit on a lot of for-profit boards. I still sit on a lot of investment committees, in different things. And it's okay for me to be that faith-based guy leaning in maybe a different way, in an unconventional way. Actually, I think I may get heard a little bit differently and maybe a little bit better. But as a leader, what that allows me to do in the nonprofit world, which I think is actually easier in some ways than the for-profit world, it allows me to be more authentic. Okay, I can talk about mission and purpose of organization and how that ties in with a staff member's faith, how that ties into their family's purpose. And I can kind of get into their stuff, okay, on how to help them in whatever God's pathway is for them, in a way that I'm just a vehicle to help. I'm not, you know, I'm not the instigator. I'm certainly not the enabler, you know, or leader of that. But I truly believe for all the Treehouse staff and our volunteers, my job is to make their jobs easier, okay, which is to provide the clarity of what God's direction and resources are. I'm just the handler that helps get that through the system. In a for-profit mindset, you just run into some issues, because once that door closes and you're having that private, intimate discussion, whether it be with a direct report or somebody, you're always kind of dancing around, how far can I go? Okay, in this concept of Treehouse, we are better because we can ask those questions more directly, more authentically, and more intimately.
If there were one tip that, again, the nonprofit Tim would say to the for-profit Tim, all of what you said being, you know, of course it's easier to do certain things in a nonprofit world, but what thing do you think would translate maybe the best or be the most effective if you could say, well, I'd like to take it from this world and put it into this world for those for-profit leaders out there listening to the show? Are there any tips and tricks that you're like, hey, think about doing this, it might help you?
Yeah, I think going beyond your comfort zone. Okay, I think in the for-profit world, we deal a lot with conventionality.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to do things a certain way, or even if you want to, you know, thought of doing things out of the box, it can only be so far out of the box, okay, by either convention, law, practice, culture, or whatever. And in the end of the day, as I see, as I sit on and go to New York and you know, talk to people on investment floors or trading floors or in lunchrooms or things like that, I talk about, you know, the concept of, you know, buck convention a bit. Okay, be willing, and you get into that uncomfortable zone of getting personal with people. Okay, because that's truly where then, you know, people feel empowered. Mm-hmm. To actually take on their own future, as opposed to just saying, okay, how do I get what I need from my leader, right, my boss, or my organization?
Well, they feel more human, too.
Right.
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 Yep. That's great. Great tip.
And that kind of leads into the adaptability question, because you're telling them to go outside the boxes, and our whole world has to be adaptable today. But so let's really talk about, Tim, that a statement that I like to say is that strategy is even more important in nonprofits because the financial resources anyway are a lot less. And I know that that's led in some of the adaptability questions for you. So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, whether it be with our staff, okay, and it isn't just resources to pay staff. It's also what talents and resources that our staff has, and how can they be adaptable to, you know, to take on different roles at different times. You know, to how do we build the right network of resources and partners and friends and the board and, you know, and fundraisers around us, to how we partner well. You have to be clear with what that purpose is and what that mission is. Mm-hmm. What I was thankful for at Urban Ventures, mm-hmm, was the context of we you know, with Art Erickson as our founder and me taking over from him, was that we had, you know, a city block that we controlled that all transformation for South Minneapolis and a lot for North that came down happened in that block.
You bet.
We did so many things trying to be in a holistic manner. Now you look at Treehouse, mm-hmm. it is single purpose for at-risk youth. Okay, mm-hmm. so we, you know, everyone knows that we are the organization, you know, here in this area and growing mm-hmm. and growing to be the national voice, that we are that organization that's responsible for protecting, helping, transforming, and being the voice for those youth.
You bet. And having to work with partners, et cetera, leads me right to a, kind of one of our central theses is what's the impact of interconnectivity and connectivity and networks in terms of both work and for-profit and non-profit organizations. Why don't you talk a little bit about those kind of themes within Treehouse right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. So when I walked into Treehouse, the concept of a national scale and growth model had already started to be visualized. It had not been really executed on. Mm-hmm. And now as we start to execute on it, what's interesting, it is a little different than what the leaders and envisioned a couple of years ago as they started this. And that was really the difference is it isn't just us going to an organization or community saying, here's the at-risk model that we use, take it. Mm-hmm. It is an adaptive model for us to say, how do we fit into what's already there within an organization mm-hmm. community, and how do we help that organization grow? Sometimes those organizations need help with fundraising. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they need help with staff development or staff recruitment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they need help in understanding how their board best looks at a 2020 and 25 world. So we find what Fred Peterson started with, you know, mentoring an at-risk youth curriculum mm-hmm. 34 years ago mm-hmm. is now a box, quote unquote, in a digital box for us of many different types of assistance and help that we can be to organizations
yes.
that go well beyond just teaching about kids.
Yes, and this is where I find that great nonprofits actually, like you said, are able to help other organizations be better
right.
at what they do because you're so clear about what you do, but they've got to figure out how they can actually interconnect with that in a way that's win-win, right? And so that's what you're talking about right now.
Our mission is to serve every at-risk youth in the United States. Mm-hmm. Okay. We will not be able to do that directly. Mm-hmm. So what do we need to do is empower and build capabilities in other organizations mm-hmm. to take our talents and our resources and our know-how and do it the best possible they can.
That's great. So let's step back from that a second, Tim. And why don't you talk a little bit about how purpose and values and vision has informed your leadership, both as a person and as the organization you're leading right now?
Yeah, coming out of school, I was always, I think I was lucky that I was blessed with a concept of looking for mentors quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the mentors that I found very quickly, when I was 22, said, Tim, have a mission statement, have a purpose statement, mm-hmm. review it every year, talk through it with your wife, go through and make sure that you are missionally and purposely focused. Mm-hmm. And that over the years has allowed me, try to keep it very simple. I'm a Micah 6:8 type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it for me, it's all about acting justly, you know, loving with mercy mm-hmm. and walking humbly. Mm-hmm. And if everything at the core of that purpose, you can build large, outlines and mission statements around that. Mm-hmm. But if you keep those things at the core for me personally, mm-hmm. that allows me to ensure mm-hmm. that every resource I have, every effort I have, every piece of energy I have is focused on God's calling to what I believe God wants me to do within that Micah 6:8 mind frame.
Oh, that's wonderful, Tim. It's wonderful to have that kind of clarity that then morphs around that, but that's the core. It's really good. So how would people get in touch with you, Tim, or with Treehouse to get engaged with it?
Yeah, we're based here in Minneapolis. My email address, tclark@treehouseyouth.org. Our website is treehouseyouth.org, and we'd love to have people connect with us. Mm-hmm. We are looking, across, again, this area and across the nation for different influencers and different people to come and say, hey, our community has a need. Will you be, come in and help us, okay, or can we talk to you about what Treehouse has to offer?
That's great.
And we'd love to, the phone's on all the time, and certainly we'd love to hear from people.
Yep, and that's really where the future direction's going, is this partnerships and connections
Correct.
All over the place.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, Kim, it's been great to have you on the show today. It's been a wonderful time here. You've been listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. We're going to continue the People series now, between now and about September 15th. And then Justin and I are going to shift gears and talk about interconnectivity and its impact, really, on what's doing the work in businesses kind of directly. And we'll still be interviewing people, but we'll also have some time where we're going to go back into our philosophical minds, right, Justin?
You bet, Dave.
And get some more theory out there and talk about kind of cutting-edge things like algorithms and machine learning and all this kind of wild stuff out there. We're glad you tuned in today. Once again, you can get us at davidstarkcollective.com. You can get us on Twitter @StarkCollective, or you can listen to all of our podcasts also on iTunes. Look under Working with Purpose, and you can find them all there. Thank you for tuning in. Next week, we're actually going to interview a guy who has the Rustica Bakeries and talk about his background. Thanks for listening today.